Okay then, so we're going to have a message, a New Year message to help guide us into the start of 2021. And as I've been thinking about this, I've been working through recently a devotional called Fixated, and it's worked through the book of Hebrews. It's been really helpful. And one of the things that has been the focus has been how we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And so as we think about that, I think that's such a helpful direction for us to start the year in, to fix our eyes on Jesus. But before I dive into that, I just wanted to talk a bit about swimming or being on a boat. I am very much a land mammal. I love to run, to walk. I'm not great on water, whether in a boat or swimming. I've had various experiences which haven't been great. And particularly, unless it's a ferry, you know, a P&O ferry to cross the channel, a hovercraft I've been on before, that was a bit shaky, but I could do that fine. But if it's, I don't know, a bamboo raft or a punt or a paddleboard or a rowing boat or anything small like that, I'm a bit out of my element. I'm not a natural swimmer anyway, don't particularly like it. And when I find myself in a boat, I become quite anxious and quite keen to make sure that I fix my eyes on the landing points, that I can get to that landing point safely. I've had various disasters, falling in, knocking other people in, missing the landing platform. And one of the things that I'm told with boats is you have to fix your eyes on the point where you want to go. You can't just rely on kind of instinct, because you tend to drift around the place. And actually, that can be the problem. If you don't keep an eye on where the boat's going, you drift. The tides, the waves, the current takes you in a direction other than that which you want to go normally. And that's quite like the spiritual life. Unless we fix our eyes on where we want to go, we find ourselves drifting. And I'm not sure about you and what this last year's been like, but there's been lots of reasons for us to just drift spiritually, to coast, to kind of go in a direction that maybe we hadn't intended on going in. Not gathering for worship doesn't help. Not meeting together with other Christians midweek and on a Sunday and serving together is one of the things that has meant that maybe we are more likely and tempted to drift spiritually, to struggle to persevere in our faith, to feel less encouraged, less a part of community, more disconnected. And it's been hard. And so as we start 2021, what the book of Hebrews I've been challenged by says is don't drift, be careful. Watch out for drifting, like a boat that goes along the current and the tides and the waves, that's moved in any number of directions off course. And instead, keep your eyes fixed on that landing platform, on that direction where you're headed. And as you fix your eyes on Jesus, we find that we don't drift, but instead we grow. We become devoted disciples, not drifting disciples. There's a few verses in Hebrews that help us to see this. In chapter 3, verse 1, we read, "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest." Fix your thoughts on Jesus. And in chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, that really famous section of Hebrews, it says this, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that easily entangles and hinders, the sin that easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." You see, we're told in Hebrews to fix our eyes on Jesus, to fix our thoughts on Jesus. And in chapter 2, verse 1 of Hebrews, we have this idea of the drift, the spiritual drift that I was referring to. So early on at the start of Hebrews, it says, "We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away." And that drifting, that kind of tendency that we have, has been heightened through 2020. And so as we start 2021, are we going to drift into January and February thinking, well, I'll just try and keep going, but, you know, I'm not in a great place spiritually, but it'll have to do until we meet up together in church again, or until I get a vaccine, or until my credit card's been cleared after the Christmas expenses. Or as I kind of just carry on hoping that I'll cope with the pressures of work until a point when life is a bit easier. These are the kind of things that can fill our minds, can't they? But what I want to say to you is, yes, we must not just drift. We must pay careful attention to the truth that we've heard, the gospel, which is what the writer of Hebrews talks about. He says Jesus is so much greater than angels, so much greater than the prophets, so much greater than the priests of the past. He's completed and fulfilled all those purposes that the Old Testament promised about, those promises. He is the fulfiller. He is great. And because of who he is, we can persevere. We cannot lose heart. And instead, we fix our eyes on him. And so as we go into 2021, let's be a church that doesn't just drift along. Let's be a church that doesn't, and individuals that prepare to not drift, that plan to grow and be devoted disciples whose eyes and thoughts are fixed on Jesus. And it is hard and it's not straightforward. But as we look at these verses just now, I hope we'll be encouraged, we'll be built up, we'll be reminded to start the year in the way that we need to. So what does it really mean to fix our thoughts or our eyes on Jesus? And there's that analogy, less of a boat analogy in chapter 12, more of a running analogy. I connect with that one more. So instead of drifting around in a boat, going off course by the waves and the wind and the currents and the tides, what we're called in chapter 12, verse 2, 1 and 2, is to persevere on the race marked out for us. It's that image of an athlete, a runner, running, throwing off the sin and the problems that entangle, not looking to the sides, but fixing your eyes on the finish line. And so as we think about what it means to fix our eyes and our thoughts, what we find, it's about looking away from the distractions to our sides and behind us and below, and instead looking toward Jesus. So it's about looking away and toward Jesus instead. And that shift is something that we know but can be quite hard to implement in a daily life, can't it? Because we're distracted by the numbers of COVID deaths, by the infections, by our bank balance, by the pressures of our children in school, by the relationships we have or don't have, by the circumstances of our health and our well-being mentally and physically, by what might happen with church, by all sorts of issues that we come across. So how can we fix our eyes and our thoughts on Jesus? Well, just going to focus in two ways, really. And in chapter 3, verse 1, I read that we're actually called to fix our thoughts on Jesus. And in this verse, this is interesting because it's maybe a bit more about the internal state, how we feel and think. So two reasons are given in this verse to help us stop the spiritual drift. And if you want to join me in that endeavor to stop the spiritual drift, but instead fix our thoughts on Jesus, this is what the writer says will help. And it's quite clear. I'll read it again. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling. You see, we know where we're headed if we're Christians. We're headed towards heaven. That's the end goal. That's the end of the race. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and our high priest. So fixing our thoughts on Jesus means getting to know Jesus more. And here, it's Jesus is revealed as an apostle and a high priest. So firstly, an apostle. This is the only place in the New Testament where Jesus is described as being an apostle. We think of the 12 disciples who became apostles. We think of that apostolic gifting, maybe, going out, starting new churches, church planting, missions, those gifts of bringing new things into being out of where maybe there's a lack of faith, that kind of gift, that being sent out. But here, Jesus is described as the sent one. And that's true, isn't it? Because God the Father sent the Son. If we think of chapter 17 of John's Gospel, it's all about the Father sending the Son and the Son praying to the Father saying, as you have sent me, I've achieved the mission that you sent me to achieve. I've manifested the truth. I've lived it out. I've proclaimed the truth of who you are. And some have received me and others have rejected me. But I've done it. And that culminated in Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection and his return to God the Father in heaven. But here we're told, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle, the one who's sent by God, sent on a mission. And we notice as well in this passage of chapter 3 that Moses is an example. You see, he also was a bit of an apostle. He was sent by God to achieve a mission, to liberate and deliver the people of Israel from the bondage of slavery in Egypt, to be the one whom would take them through the wilderness to the edge of the promised land. And now we find that Jesus is an even greater example of an apostle, one who isn't a part of the house building effort, as it were, that is described in chapter 3. So we get this language of Moses being faithful. But Jesus, verse 3, has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. And in verse 6, but Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope which we glory in. You see, actually, Jesus is building a house like Moses was encouraged to do, to build a house, the people of God, faithfully. Jesus does that in a whole new way because he is the head of the house. He is the head of the church. And he's committed to the mission of redeeming his people. As Moses was, enabling that through the Exodus. Now Jesus fulfills it. The sent one, the apostle. What do we fix our eyes on or our thoughts on? The fact that Jesus is building his church through 2021, and he did it through 2020, even though we might not quite see how he was building his church. He's preparing for us for that heavenly calling. And then the second word here that we get is priest. So Jesus is described as an apostle and a high priest. Maybe that one is a bit more familiar with the Old Testament context. The priests who go in and take a sacrifice and sprinkle the blood on the altar and help to atone for the sin of the people, deliberate and unintentional sin, so that they'd be accepted by God. And the book of Hebrews explains a lot of that and then points to Jesus, the one who is the high priest, who only goes once to do that through the death on the cross, who is greater and a priest than any of the priests that preceded him. His sacrifice once and for all. We fix our thoughts on Jesus, the priest, who isn't just sent by God to achieve a mission, but is the one who represents sinners before God, goes back to God the Father, enters the presence of God, saying, I've taken their sin and I'm going to intercede for the people. This is the priestly role, to intercede for others. And in chapter 4 of Hebrews, we read this, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus the apostle, who is building his church, his redeemed people. Jesus the priest, who intercedes on our behalf, who has taken our sin, who is the one who offers us grace and forgiveness in our time of need, the one who can connect with us in our weakness, in our sin, in our failings, not because his sin, but because he was tempted yet was without sin, and takes our sin upon himself, the perfect high priest. What a priest we have, one who gets it when we feel weak, who can pray for us to the Father. Amazing. But not only that, not only do we have an apostle-like Jesus and a priestly Jesus, we see in chapter 12 another element of Jesus that I want to focus on. So we fix our thoughts on Jesus as we remember who he was. We fix our eyes on Jesus, thinking about how the external world can so often get in the way. But another reason to stop our spiritual drift is to remember that Jesus is our pioneer. And we found that, didn't we, in verse 2 of chapter 12 in Hebrews. So if you jump forward a few chapters, if you've got your Bibles open, Hebrews 12, verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Pioneer. A pioneer is someone who goes into new frontiers or territories, who moves forward with a vision or technological development, who leads the way. Jesus leads the way for us into our new life. And if when you become a Christian and you receive a new life, Jesus is with you, leading you in that new life. He is the initiator of your faith. Other translations use the word author rather than pioneer. He starts our faith. He creates the new life that we have, and he leads us on in it. He moves us forward into the new territory of life with God. That word pioneer is like a trailblazer, a leader. I think maybe into the past, early 1800s in America, the states, and as the east coast of America had been colonized, and there was this wild west, this new frontier, the president, I think it was President Thomas Jefferson, sent Captain Clark and Captain Lewis to famously investigate this new territory into that wild west. And as they headed into that wild west territory, with maps, plotting routes and pathways to enable the development of the society in that direction, they were called pioneers. And in a way, Jesus is the pioneer into the new country, the new spiritual land that we inherit, heaven ultimately, but life with God now. The pioneer of our faith, the one who has not only suffered and died, but risen and ascended. And one day we will receive new resurrection bodies and will enter into this new life with God face to face forever. He is our pioneer, the perfecter of our faith, because he suffered and was his obedience was made perfect through his suffering. He was fully qualified to be this pioneering savior because he was sinless. And so as we fix our thoughts and our eyes on Jesus, we look at one who is the perfect saviour, who is able to meet our needs when we struggle in our sin, who is able to build his church through COVID-19, who is able to be with us building the church through 2021, and whatever is ahead, whatever new issues we face, individually or globally, this is the one that we fix our eyes upon. There's one other verse in Hebrews I want to refer to, and it's chapter 6, verse 19, and it says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." And what is amazing about Jesus being our pioneer, being our priest, being our apostle, is that he is our anchor, the one who, because of his character and his nature, as we fix our eyes on him, looking away from the distractions, the sin in us, the issues in our world, we fix our eyes on him. He is like an anchor. So going back to that boat image, my fears in the small rowing boats as I remember capsizing, or as I knock people over when I'm punting down the Cam in Cambridge, or as I'm on a bamboo raft in Thailand and find myself upended and nearly drowning, all these bad memories of water and boats. Jesus is our anchor. whatever the issues are in our life at the moment, whatever 2021 brings us, our hope isn't on our ability to stop drifting. Our hope isn't on how well we fix our eyes even on Jesus. It's on who Jesus is. It's on beholding him, who is like an anchor. So how, just as we finish, how can we kind of practically outwork this as we head into 2021? How can we practically fix our eyes and our thoughts on Jesus and let him be an anchor for our soul this year? Well, it's great to start new things and it's good to stop bad habits. As you look ahead, maybe you've started a Bible in the Year plan. There's lots out there, some really good ones. I know Nikki Gumbel through HDB, it's one with lots of fun, really good commentary as well as Bible reading through the year. There's another one that the Bible Project have started called One Story That Leads to Jesus. Why not try a new Bible reading plan? How about your prayer life? Maybe sign up and download the PrayerMate app, a really useful tool for creating prayer lists and prayer prompts and verses that connect with what you're praying into. Get serious about praying. Or maybe thinking about how you re-engage in a life group, or you follow on from the sermons that you've heard this year in practically applying them. Or how you can deepen relationships within the church community, how you can serve others in your neighborhood or within the community that you live. What does it look like 2021 for you moving forward? But beyond starting good things, reading new books, listening to podcasts, whatever they may be, what is it you need to stop? What areas have you been spiritually drifting in that God's tugging on your heart right now, saying, we need to address this. You need to stop that. You need to change that pattern of behavior of how you use your free time, or how you communicate over the internet, or how you spend your money. Whatever the challenge is for you, address it. Take it to God. And then we can begin to endure in running that race with our eyes fixed on Jesus, throwing off the sin that entangles us, remembering Jesus is our high priest who is able to sympathize with us in our weakness and forgive us and give us grace to keep going, who is building his church because he is the apostle, but also the pioneer taking us towards heaven one step at a time. But beyond all that, I think starting 2021 isn't about recommitting to lots of new spiritual resolutions. Really, it's about the heart of fixing our eyes on Jesus, which is to behold him, to see him for who he is. Let me read a few verses from a guy called John Owen, who's a Puritan, so a few hundred years ago, wrote some really wise things and captures what I want to finish with really well, I think. This is what John Owen says, let's get to the right page, in one of his commentaries. He says, make up your mind that to behold the glory of God by beholding the glory of Christ is the greatest privilege which is given to believers in this life. This is the dawning of heaven. Let us regard it as our duty to meditate frequently on his glory. It is the neglect of meditation that keeps so many Christians in a feeble state. A constant view of the glory of Christ will revive our lives to flourish and thrive. Our souls will be revived by the transforming power with which beholding Christ is always accompanied. This is what transforms us daily in the likeness of Christ. To meditate on the glory of Christ is what it means to fix our eyes on Jesus, to think about who he is, to praise him, to worship him, to speak of him, to love him and to delight in him. That's the goal of every Christian, isn't it? That's what does a transforming work in us. As we see more of Jesus, our lives are transformed. And then we want to pray, we want to read, we want to talk about him, we want to be a part of a church community that makes a difference. So maybe you're beginning to lose heart. maybe you're growing weary. The book of Hebrews and I today, and through God in his Holy Spirit, feel that as a church we need to take this exhortation seriously. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. When the storms of 2021 come, what will you do? Fix your eyes on Jesus. When the sin and guilt begin to undermine you of your assurance, what should you do? Fix your eyes, fix your thoughts on Jesus. He is the one that saves, that forgives, that enables us to keep going when we're finding it hard. Let me pray. Father God, I pray that you would help us to do this, to behold Jesus's glory, to see it more, that we would indeed fix our eyes on him, the author of our faith, because he is like a pioneer leader, because he is the high priest who has dealt with our sin, because he is this apostle who has been sent on a mission to redeem a people for himself. And Lord God, I thank you that you are doing that. Help us to know you more. Help us to trust you more and to live for you this year. Not just look ahead at this year, hoping that the vaccine will solve everything, hoping that a new job, a better salary, a new relationship will be the answer. Lord God, may we discover that you are what we need in 2021. Help us in our weakness. Fill us with your power. In Jesus' name, amen.